1 Peter chapter 3 is our passage for study this morning. And as you turn, one of the first things you'll see when you get to that passage is the word finally. Well, when you get the word finally in front of you, typically that means something's getting ready to close. Well, it's not the book because there's chapter 4 and chapter 5 still yet to come in 1 Peter. So what it is this is a this finally is referring to an end of a section. Now, before we read, I just want you, if you found 1 Peter 3 in your Bibles, I want you to turn over one page, go back to chapter 2, and I want you to look at verse 12. Actually, we'll start at 11. 11 and 12 is the beginning of the section that he's now referring to and saying, finally, okay? And it says, "Dear friends, I urge you as aliens and strangers in the world to abstain from sinful desires which war against your soul." Now, you all remember we covered that. It took 2 weeks to get through that, just these two verses. But watch what it says. It says, "Live such good lives among the pagans that though they accuse you of doing wrong, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day he visits." Now, you're going to see reflections of that verse, significant reflections of that verse in what we're about to read. In other words, 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 8 is the conclusion of what started in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 11 and 12. Is everybody with me? So this is what's concluding. Now here it also says and begins, it says, "Finally, all of you." Now that's another significant little introductory word, which means he's talked about, and if you were here for these, he's talked about the instructions of living good lives for husbands. He's talked about that for wives. He talked about it for slaves, for servants, or in our world, those of us who are employees of bosses, right? And he talked about those who are of us just being citizens of a government, citizens of a nation, okay? All of that has been discussed in particular. Now he's broadening this, and he's saying to his audience, to the Asian believers, the believers in Asia Minor, I shouldn't say Asian believers, that was Asia Minor, Peter is addressing all of them. So this applies to everybody that's in earshot of Peter's letter, to the churches in Asia Minor, to the believers, to the world of believers, to Summer Oaks. Okay, so that's where our passage begins, and that I hope that kind of dials you into where we are in this. So let me, friends, this is God's word, literally God's word. So what? Pay attention. "Finally, all of you, live in harmony with one another. Be sympathetic. Love as brothers. Be compassionate and humble. Do not repay evil with evil or insult with insult, but repay with blessing. Because to this you were called, so that you may inherit a blessing. For whoever would love life and see good days must keep his tongue from evil and his lips from deceitful speech, must turn from evil and do good, must seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are attentive to their prayer. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. Who is going to harm you if you are eager to do good? But even if you should suffer for what is right, you are blessed. Do not fear what they fear. Do not be frightened. But in your heart set apart Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect, keeping a clear conscience, so that those who speak maliciously against your good behavior in Christ may be ashamed of their slander. It is better, friends, it is better if it is God's will to suffer for doing good than for doing evil." That's God's word. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before you today with some of us with very heavy hearts, Some of us are just bored. Some of us are confused. Some of us are just dog tired. Some of us are just coming in thankful for a 5 minute or for 30 minutes of peace and quiet. And some of us are eager and hungry to know what it means to actually love life and to see good days. So we come with we're a mixed bag of nuts, but you're the God that separates all of us out and blesses. We ask that you would be here today and invite you to be present in a very powerful and to teach our minds, to open our hearts, to receive it. Lord, we would see Jesus today above everything else, Lord. If they hear nothing else in this place today, they might hear the name of Jesus Christ and know that he is the Savior of the world, the one in whom all hope lives, the one in whom we trust for eternal life. I ask, Lord, if there's any unbelieving folk here today, that they might hear the gospel of good news, not of condemnation, but a message of atonement and forgiveness and peace and blessing. So we would see Jesus and him more clearly. We ask it in your name. Amen. Would you dream with me for just a minute? Just dream. What do you want out of life? What would you want? What is a good thing to think about in your mind when you think about it? This is what I'd like. This is what I'd like out of life. This is what I'd like. Just think about it for a moment. If you ask a 16-year-old, he might say, or she might say, what I want out of life is a car. If you ask someone who's single, they might say, I want a spouse. If you ask someone who's homeless, their dream might be what? A home. If you ask a Carolina fan, the answer is to beat Duke. If you ask a Duke fan, it is, who's Carolina? Yeah. You're dreaming too small if that's what you're thinking. Yeah, that's what I said. You're dreaming too small. If you can list it out and put it on a piece of paper and enumerate what your dream would be, you're dreaming way too small. Let me offer a different dream. That's not a dream at all. It's actually a biblical reality for you, for all of you. It's right here in this passage, and I want you to look at it yourself. It's here in verse 10. Whoever would, here's the dream, love life and see good days. Now, friends, that's a worthy dream, is it not? Isn't that a wonderful phrase? Isn't that a full and rich phrase? I mean, even a small child looks at this and realizes this is big. It's so much bigger than whether I get the toys I want for Christmas. A teenager, a college student who's looking for, I need a job, I need a car, I need a career, I need a paycheck, I need a place to stay, I need all of that dream, even that dream, what is legitimate as it might be, is pales in comparison to this dream. Here it is. This is what we all want. Every one of us wants. Every person created in the image of God, every human being wants this. We want to love life and see good days. Amen? Isn't that what you want? Isn't that encapsulated all? That's a vision statement. That's a personal vision statement. It's worthy of a wooden frame on a wall and either Connie or Sarah to do some calligraphy for it. Yeah? It's a t-shirt worthy. It's a coffee cup mug worthy. You see what I'm saying? Now what I want you to notice is this is not original with Peter. Peter's like every other preacher. We just steal good stuff from better people than us. Did you see it? And Jim read it. Jim put it in our bulletin today. Did you see it in the middle? It's verse 12. Oh, look at your bulletins. It's in the middle of Psalm 34. Psalm 34. And it's in verses 12 through 16. And I think Jim put the scripture references. Yes, Jim, you're so good. It's right there. Whoever of you loves life and desires to see many good days, keep your tongue from evil and your lips from telling lies. Turn from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. The eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are attentive to their cry. Okay? But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil and blot out their name from the earth. You see, this is Peter's quoting Psalm 34 there. Seven simple words. LSDG. Love life, see good days. It's a worthy vision and dream. I think you all would agree with me, yeah? It's also what I think God would want us to have, yes? Would you agree with that? So why do we go to bed every night thinking, maybe tomorrow, because this day really stunk it up? Why do we lay our heads down on the pillow at night and say, maybe tomorrow, or maybe the next day, because this day was a bad day? Or maybe surely someday, oh, or when I get to heaven, then, when I get to heaven, then I'll have, you know, I'll love life and see many good days. But what I want to tell you, friends, is that is not what this passage is instructing or leading us to believe. It is not about something someday, maybe. Rarely an in-between, long distances in between, but it's something that you can do, that you are called to do, that you're set apart to have and experience now. Not in heaven, not just in heaven, some future hope, or maybe once in a while now here, but now. Look at verse 15. Don't lose this. The end of verse 15, always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you what? What? Have. Now. Have now. Have now. Now, I want to lay out something here. I want you to look with me at verse 10, 11, and 12. And if you don't mind writing in your Bibles and you got something to do that with, I want you to mark out beside of verse 10 what you want. And out beside, that's the first part of verse 10. It goes, whoever would love life and see good days, this is what we want. Then that person must, do you see the word there in verse 10b? Must, that person who would want this must keep his tongue from evil, his lips from deceitful speech. He must turn from evil, do good. He must seek peace and pursue it. That's what you want. If loving life and seeing good days is what you want, then here's what we must do. And here's what's so important. Please don't misunderstand this last piece. Verse 12. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are attentive to their prayer. Now, what I want you to see is verse 12 is not so that. In other words, if you want to love life and see good days, you must do these things so that God's eyes will be on you and attentive to your cry. That is not what it's saying. It doesn't say so that in verse 12. What does it say? For. In other words, if you want to love life and see good days, this is what you do. You keep your tongue from evil, your lips from speaking lies, because God is for you. Because God is behind you. He's in front of you. The Lord is a shield about us. He is our comforter. This is His blessing. It's not what we do to get His blessing. It's what we do out of that blessing. Does everybody hear me? What I'm saying to you is, we don't do these good works to get God's blessing. We have God's blessing, and out of that, we do these good things. Everybody say, amen? Okay, Please don't misunderstand, because you can twist this thing around and say, the reason why you don't have good days is all your fault. Part of that's true, isn't it? You want to love life and see good days. You do need to do these things that God's called us to do. But that does not mean he doesn't love you until you do so. But if you want to love life and see good days, this is what we need to do. Let me give you a picture so you can take this picture with you into these verses. And here's the picture. Notice how Erin, when she came back, was she not just a bit bubbly? She was like, drive you up the wall bubbly, wasn't she? I could just hear Erin. I don't even know what she had to say, but I could just hear her. Never completing a sentence. It was like, and we went over here, man. Oh, and then we went, oh, and it was like, she was just bubbling over, right? Just loving life and seeing good days. Yeah, you with me? What had she been doing for the last month? Pursuing peace. Not returning evil with evil. Not returning insult with insult. But returning that with blessing. Turning away from evil, pursuing peace. When all of our missionaries, when all of us came back, every year when we come back from CCC, what are we doing? It's just, we had such a goal, it was so great, and it was wonderful. People were blessed, and it was so, and we spend the last 2 days at every CCC gathering that we have trying to convince one another, don't go home and lose this, don't we? Girls, don't we? You know what they said at the last Friday and Saturday? All of it was about, how do we go home and keep this feeling, keep this loving life and seeing good days? Well, where did it come from? It came from not returning evil with evil or insult with insult, but pursuing people with blessing, keeping our ears and eyes open to the Lord, our lips from evil and speaking lies, and doing good. Don't you see? Okay, good. Three things. Now, a little bit different than the order that I put in the bulletin. I said calling, comfort, in Christ. Well, I want to do a little differently. I want us to begin by looking at the comfort, okay? What is the comfort? Well, verse 9 points to it. It says down at the end of the verse 9, it says, so that you may inherit a blessing. What blessing? The blessing is down here in verse 12. The blessing that we were called to inherit in verse 9 is here in verse 12. With the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, his ears are attentive to their prayer, and the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. Now, I want to stop for just a moment and get you to look at this inheritance up here in verse 9. How many of you all, when you hear the word inheritance, you kind of think about inheritance as what you'll get when you die? Anybody like that? I do. You want to know where it comes from? I looked it up in the Bible. It's everywhere in the Bible. All over the place. It's in 47, I think it's 47 times the word inheritance in the Bible. And you know what follows? I wrote them down. Generally, this is what it says. You will inherit the kingdom of God. You will inherit eternal life. You will inherit the throne of honor. You will inherit the promised land. You will inherit, the meek shall inherit what? The earth, all right? The kingdom of God, eternal life, the throne of honor, inherit the earth. Does that sound like something that's going to happen on Tuesday at 10? No. So we usually think of this word inheritance when we see it in the Bible, what we're going to inherit in the Bible. We generally think about something that's after we're dead. Yes? You with me? Maybe you're not there. It's okay. You don't have to. But that's the way I think about it. I caught myself and I talked to Millie about it. And I realized that's not how we inherit. When do we inherit? When we're still alive and somebody else is dead. I'm sorry, I shouldn't laugh. Y'all aren't laughing. I thought it was kind of humorous that I stopped and I said, wait a minute. I inherit while I'm what? Alive. Now. And somebody else who loved and cared enough about me to bless me has died. Can you think of anybody who's loved me, loved you, cared for you enough to leave you an impeccable inheritance? Huh? Say it loud, honey. Jesus! This is our inheritance. He died to make sure we had it. Amen? Okay, so it's now. All right, so what is it that we've inherited? Because we got to move on. We're doing pretty darn good. Look at this verse 12. There's three things included here. There are eyes, there's ears, and there's a face. You see it in verse 12? Eyes of the Lord, ears of the Lord, face of the Lord. All three of them. They're eyes of adoration. And we'll talk about that. They're ears of attentiveness or attention. And there's a face of protection and punishment. Let's look at the eyes of adoration. In fact, I think I've even put this, look in the back of your bulletin. The eyes of the Lord, this last one down here at the bottom. You want to speak some Greek? The word for eyes here is ophthalmos. You want to say it with me? Ophthalmos. See, you're Greek speakers already. Ophthalmos. The word is translated eye or sight. Literally, it means the eye or vision. But metaphorically, which is obviously how it's used here in this verse, it means the eyes of the mind, the faculty of knowing. The faculty of knowing. Okay? When it says the eyes here in verse 12, the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, this is talking about the eyes of the Lord in terms of his attention and his adoration. Sorry, not attention, but his adoration. The eyes that see something and adore, that see something as... Let me give you an illustration. Those of you who've had children, the day of, the night of, and the next day, moms just stare at them the whole time. They want to stare at them, and they want to touch them. They want to feel them. They want to smell them. And they want to pick them up. And they want to look at those little fat feet. You just want to eat on the lock. Right? It's drink. You're just drinking it in. Some of y'all do that? You're just drinking it in. You know, remember Frankie Valli? You're just too good to be true. I can't, what? Take my eyes off of you. I want to hold you. No. Now, guys sometimes have the problem, but let me give you guys an illustration of what this means. It's when you get that lawnmower you've always wanted. John, you hear me, dog? You hear me, dog? Yeah, give me a bump. All right. You get that. I drove clunkers, and I rode clunkers for 29, no, not 29. How old was I when I got back here? In 2002, I was old, 30, 40, 2002. I had driven clunkers for all those years. I was born in 60, so that means I was 42. I'd driven home lights that had been pulled out of the junkyard. I drove snappers it was a snapper field, snapper base that had a home light engine on it and something else clutch and a MTD cover on it. I mean, it was like Johnny Cash's 49, 50, 55, 65. Yeah, it's like just a pit. I drove those for 42 years, and when I got back here, I finally had enough money, and I went out and bought myself a John Deere. Brand new, from the store, not from Lowe's, from the real John Deere place. Yeah. And my kids, and Sarah might remember this, but my kids would go, "Where's Dad?" "I don't know. Is his truck still here?" "Yeah." "Car still here?" "Yeah." "Where's Dad?" You know where I was? No, I was in the basement looking at my lawnmower. I was like, There you go. Ophthalmos. That's what it means. Just drinking it in. That's what God's doing with you. Do you think that about yourself? Do you feel that? Do you know that every day of your life as a believer, God's drinking you in? His eyes adoring you? His eyes, you know, we think about God's eyes like his eyes are divine daddy cam. The spy cam. He's watching us to catch us at something bad and punish us. No. Yes, he sees all that we do, but in his eyes for his children is what? Love and adoration. He can't get enough of you. Can't take his eyes off of you. You'll be like heaven to touch. He's looking forward to holding you so much. Who knew that Frankie Valli was a prophet? Second thing, his eyes are attentive, his eyes of adoration, his ears of attentiveness. His ears are attentive to their prayer. You believe that God hears you when you pray. It's hard sometimes when you feel like your prayers get no higher than the ceiling text. God hears you when you pray, hears you when you cry. Well, what's the analogy or what can we hold on to here to think about how God hears you? Remember taking your kids to school and you go back and pick them up in the afternoon? When you took your kids to school, they had on a shirt, probably a pair of shorts, some tennis shoes, and a backpack. When they come out of school, the shorts are unzipped, you know, and the buttons are all in the wrong holes. The backpack is swinging open and papers are just flying out everywhere. And all the kids come out of the school at the same time and they all shout what? Mom! A whole sea of tiny humanity comes running out at the same time. And they all go, Mom! And you watch it, and you've done it too. And that every mom can hear amongst that sea of screaming humanity, every mom can hear their child's voice, can pick it out. I mean, some of you all might, have you noticed how you can pick out your child or your loved one's walk? They're walking away from you. And you can look through this a whole bunch of people at Carowinds, and you can pick your person out just by the way they walk. Like Sean, you know, Sean, he's kind of like, you know. I mean, he's confident, man. He's loving life and seeing good days. I can pick his gait out at the beach, down the beach, you know, 500 yards. Yeah, there's Sean. He's got that Brian Regan strut. God hears and is attentive to our cries. I said, God hears and is attentive to our cry. Last week, I was called on Monday by the church over here that I did the Holy Week thing, the foot washing service. This guy's named Cecil. He called me on the phone on Monday, and he said, I'd like for you to come and preach Revival Weekend at our church on the 26th of August. Be the last speaker, which is, you know, last speaker on a weekend-long thing is kind of a big deal. At least I perceive it to be. I don't know if it is, but they may all be worn out by the time I show up, and I don't know. But, you know, a Revival Weekend is all about salvation, yes? Salvation in theological terms is soteriology. And our Methodist friends and the Presbyterian friends, their soteriology has a lot of differences. We still all go to the same Jesus, right? But there's the way we get there is very different between the Methodist and the Reformed Presbyterians. And, you know, and so I was really anxious about it, and I've been praying. What I was praying is, God, I want you to make it clear to me what you want me to do before I answer them. You know, because my first answer is yes. And that's built a lot on pride. Somebody asks a pastor to come and preach, your pride just automatically is honored to be asked and says yes. You know, it's either pride or I didn't want to disappoint Cecil. You know, another is just my love for approval of men. Maybe that's what was driving me to say answer yes, and so I didn't answer him. I told him, I said, I need a few, let me think about it, and I'll get back to you after the fourth. So after the fourth, I came back, and I called him on the phone, and I left him a message, and I said, if you still would have me on August the 26th at 6:30 in the afternoon, I'll come and preach for your revival weekend. And I'm working on this passage, right? This is the passage that I'm working on. And his response to me was, great, I got you down. We have a few more meetings, but keep in mind our theme for this weekend retreat, this evangelistic revival weekend, our theme is the reason for the hope that is in us. Verse 15, be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks, to give the reason for the hope that you have. And, you know, when he texted that to me, it's on my phone, I won't erase it because cold chills just ran down my spine. And I was like,
gotcha.
God is attentive to our cry. We got to move on. Look at this face of protection here. And the reason I call it a face of protection is because it says the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. In other words, the first two are directed, the eyes of adoration and the ears of attention are focused on his people. But this last one is this face that's turned away from you and on those that would harm you. The face of the Lord is against those who do evil. His eyes and his ears are on those who turn from evil and do good. His face is against those who do evil. You see that? So in other words, this idea of a face, this is not a happy face. This is a face, we would call it a maledictory face. This is not the face of Numbers chapter 6, verse 24, the ironic blessing. Not ironic, but ironic blessing. Remember? May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. This is the exact opposite face. This is the opposite face. This is a face that's not being that smiling or shining and being gracious. This is a face that's stern and being grievous. It's not the face of benediction. It's the face of malediction. To explain it best, this is the face of God on Calvary. A lot of people like to think when Jesus said, my God, you remember Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani, my God, why have you forsaken me? A lot of people believe that that forsaken means that God somehow in his divine eternal being went like this. That he just turned his back on Jesus Christ. That is not. Let me tell you something. God was not absent from Calvary. God was hellishly present. What Jesus was lamenting, why have you forsaken me, is because Jesus had lost the benevolent face of God. And God had turned upon his own son the full malevolent face of a wrathful God. Why? Why would God do that to his boy? Because he who knew no sin had what? Become sin. Whose sin? Our sin. Our sin was upon him. Our transgressions. Our foolishness. Our evil. Our lust. Our lying lips. All of that was upon him. And God brought his malevolent face, a face of judgment upon him, and paid the price there on Calvary. Okay? In other words, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world, the blood of the Lamb, God's arrows of wrath,
have been made drunk in the blood of the Lamb of God. His wrath for all who believe. His wrath for all who trust in Christ. His wrath for all unrighteousness is now spent. It's gone, or as Jesus said on the cross, it is finished, you see. That's the blessing. But it's not just that God's wrath for us has been negated, has been removed, has been spent. He's also turning that on others in terms of protecting his children, protecting himself and us from all his and our enemies. To let his face shine against them, or to be to protect our backside, to protect us. Well, if we're living, if we're loving life and seeing good days, exactly what is there to be protected from, right? Please don't underestimate, please don't misread this passage. This loving life and seeing good days is not all happy days. Did you notice? It's in verse 9, verse 15, verse 13, verse 14, and verse 16. It talks about malicious talk. It talks about slander. It talks about evil, insult, hurtful, suffering. It's all in this passage. And right in the middle of all this bad stuff that's going on is loving life and seeing good days. Don't you see what God's plan is for us? His plan is not for us to get out of here, go to heaven, get a new P.O. box and address, and now it's going to be all great. God says, no, it's now. It's right in the middle of all the bad stuff. It's when you're riding around in the belly of the fish like Jonah. Even in the belly of the fish, it can be loving life and seeing good days right then. You don't have to wait for it. And you don't have to wait for life to calm down. God is with you now in the valley of the shadow of death. Yes? Right in the shadow of death, there is my God is with me in the shadow of death. I fear no evil. Why? Because thou art where? With me. Don't you see? This passage is full of hard stuff, evil stuff, big time stuff. It's not happy days or here again and ticker tapes. It's not about happy family, happy friends, happy food, happy weather, noodle salad. You know, it's not about, you know, picnics and everybody's walking around and it's just everybody's dancing and having a good time and hugging necks and, you know, it's just unicorns and pixie dust and magic wands. That's not where we live. God knows where we live, and that's what brings the blessing. It's right in the middle of all of the garbage that we're enduring, we find peace. I pray, brother, that in the middle of you living with the big C over your head, that somehow, some way, God is breaking through to say, I got you. You see the power of this thing called loving life and seeing good days?
One more place, and then we've got to go to the second point. The second and the third are really short. I promise. Do not repay evil with evil, or insult with insult, but with blessing. Because of this, you were called. Do you see this word, called? Back of the bulletin again. Next to the last. Kaleo. Would you say that with me? Kaleo. The word is translated call, bid, or to be so named or named. It can mean to call aloud, or utter in a loud voice like Scott gets on Sunday morning when his face turns red and he sweats a lot. It can also mean, now watch this, it can also mean to name. That is, to call is to name. To be called is to be given a name.
in this verse. Because of this, you were called that you may inherit a blessing. You have been named as children of God. All of you who trust in Christ and believe in Him have been given a name. And that name is loving life and seeing good days. You've been named that. Not because you're perfect, but because that's God's plan. And you need to live, friends, we need to live out of our inheritance. You need to start making some withdrawals from your inheritance. You need to start living out of that instead of what the world tells you to live out of, which is you're stupid and I'm smart. I'm big and you're small. I'm right, you're wrong. Your calling is no. I've been called to love life and see good days, and I'm living out of that. That's what I'm called to. Why? Because the Lord has His eyes upon me, and His ears are attentive to my cry, and my enemies are His enemies, and He protects my back. See what I mean? By living out of that. So, what is our calling? Let's talk about that just for a minute. We started that just now to talk about this, is that we're named to this and to living out of that. But I want you to notice specifically what he says, and it starts up here in verse 8. This is how we experience this loving life and seeing good days. Not so that God will give them to us, but this is how we enter in and experience it. Watch this. Live in harmony with one another. Be sympathetic. Love as brothers. Be compassionate and humble. Do not repay evil with evil or insult with evil or insult with insult, but blessing. It repeats itself a little bit more down here in verse 10. Whoever would love life and see good days must. Here's what we need to do. If you want to experience more of this in your life, here's the how-to. Must keep his tongue from evil, his lips from deceitful speech, must turn from evil and do good, must seek peace and pursue it. You see that? Now, up in verse 8, there's a bunch of words. Let me just go through them here. Go back to your bulletin on the back. It says, love one another. The word that's actually there, and that we're talking about, this is what we're to do. So I'm giving you the specifics about it. Loving one another is this Greek word, phadelphos. Philadelphia, basically, right? Yeah. So you think, philadelphos. The word is translated, love as brethren. Now, it means to love one's own brother, love one's own brother or sister, or to love a friend, a fellow believer, as you would a brother or sister. That's what philadelphos means. Philadelphos is not, we come to church and we smile at one another and we pat each other on the back and we give one of the, you know, we give those A-frame church hugs.
Hey.
Or we give those side-by-sides. You know, I'm so scared to touch you. You know, some idiot with a lawsuit waiting on every pastor, right? By the way, I hate that. If I could change one thing today, that would be my magic wand. Just wave it over the whole. That's not the love. You and I are to love one another like we are blood kin. Because guess what? We are. It's that kind of love. He goes on and he talks about being compassionate. Now, I like this word, this next word. I like the pronunciation of it. It's eusplachnos. Can you say that? Eusplachnos. I'm sorry, I think I just spit on the table. The word is translated tenderhearted or pitiful. It means to be tenderhearted, to show pity, and I love this last part, to have strong bowels. Now, what in the world? To have strong bowels? Well, let me ask you something. Have you ever seen what nurses, these angels of compassion, do you see what they put their hands in all day long? I love my mama. I mean, I loves my mama. But if there comes a day when I got to change her depends, I'm not sure I have the strong bowels for that. That's what we're talking about. It's compassion that touches what people normally don't want to ever touch. Compassion. It goes on, it talks about humble, to be humble in verse 8. Now, this is a word that we've talked about before, but humble in this context does not mean humble as in a doormat, or humble as in someone who never speaks too loud or has an opinion, or some wishy-washy kind of lowly person. The word here is tapinaphron. Let's say that together. Tapinaphron. The word is translated humble by the NIV, but is better translated to be courteous. The word means to be friendly of mind, to be kind, to be courteous. It means to not be rude, to not be curt, to not be mean-hearted, and not snobbish. This humble simply means to be a kind-hearted, true, genuine friend. Somebody that you would want to be with. I've got somebody in my life like that. Do you have somebody in your life like that? That every time you're around them, as you're around them, you count yourself blessed to just be in their presence because they're so kind to you. I've got a whole church like that. Humble, tender-hearted. Last thing, look down at verse 9 at the very end. Do not repay evil for evil or insult with insult, but with blessing. You see that? This is where the rubber meets the road, because I think all of us already know all about the harmony of one another, the sympathy, the love, the compassion, the humility. I think those are all Christianese words that we all get. But what we fail to get is what he's also saying is don't repay evil with evil or insult with insult, but here's what you repay them with: bless them. You want to get somebody's attention? Bless them when they deserve a lot worse. Bless them. You know, the next time somebody pulls out in front of you in traffic, nearly sideswipes your car to get ahead of you, slams on the brakes so that you can't get past, and then moves forward when you try to pass, catch them, chase them down. It says right here to pursue them with peace, right? Pursue them at the next light. Roll down your window, look over him and say, may the Lord bless you and keep you. Make his face to shine upon you. Be gracious to you. No. Bless them. You know what I'm saying? You bless them. Don't do it like that. You know? Don't do it like, well, like the lady at Lowe's that we somehow made angry at when we walked out the door and it was beeping at us or something. And she just came out and she said, have a blessed day. Like, I don't really feel blessed. I kind of feel like, Millie, could you pull that out, please? This, bless them. Give them what they don't expect. What is it Jesus said? If somebody busts you in the jaw on one side of the face, what are you to do? Turn the other one. So have go, Gomer. Go ahead. You want to find yourself being asked why you do what you do, to give a reason for the hope that's in you? Be like that with people. When what they deserve is a tongue lashing like they've never had before, when now what they deserve is to be popped right back in the face, when what they deserve is to see your malevolent face, show them your beneficent face. Because you've already seen it, haven't you? Can you think of anybody? Can you think of anybody that has shown you that face? When what you deserved was the malevolent face, but what you found was the benevolent face.
I love this one where I'm one more word. Verse 13, it says, who is going to harm you if you are eager to do good? Eager. You see that? I'm dead serious about chasing people down to do them good. That little story about chasing this person to the light may be a little ridiculous, but I think it made a point. What I'm saying is I'm dead serious, and I think this passage is dead serious about you pursuing peace. You pursuing those people who have damaged you, hurt you, insulted you, showed evil to you. Pursue them to forgive them. Pursue them to do them good. And you and I have seen that happen in Jesus. Jesus said, at one point they asked him questions, and he looked at him and he said, my bread and my meat is to do the will of my Father. He was eager to do the will of his Father. This word that's used here in verse 13, who's going to harm you if you are eager to do them good? This word eager is actually the word zaletos, or a word we get our another word, zealot, is to be zealous. To be eager is to be zealous. Let me give you the illustration of the word. My friend Sonny had a boxer when I was growing up, 12, 15, 16 years old. Name was Zipper. Zipper had a head like a crocodile. I mean, like a football. It was huge, big old jaws on him, slobbering over a boxer. Well, it looked like Winston Churchill, you know. And Zipper was huge, huge, had to weigh 170, 180 pounds. I don't know if that's normal for a boxer, but he was huge, had a great big old chest on him. But Zipper played the game they called nose candy. Now, no, it's not that kind of nose candy. Not the nose candy of the 2000s. This was a different kind of nose candy. Zipper would, they'd call him over, Sonny, pull him over, call him over, Zipper, Zipper, you want a treat? And he had these little cheese, meat, Rolo treats or something, right? And Zipper would come over, you know, he's all over the place, and he'd say, treat, and Zipper would go. And Sonny had reached down, and he put that little Rolo right there on Zipper's nose, right on that big fat nose, a big broad head, kind of in between his eyes, you know, right there. And he'd set it right there, and he'd say, wait, wait. He'd step back, and Zipper going. It's so funny, you know, they had his tail bobbed. That would move. It was like a reciprocating saw. You know. And he was just sitting there, everything else is dead still. He's looking like this. That thing, you know. And Sonny'd say, wait, and he'd go, wait. Wait. After about 2 seconds, this funniest thing had happened. Everything on Zipper was absolutely still, except for his skin. It literally began to crawl. It was be twitching. But he had that head straight. And then he'd say, go, and he'd go. That's the eager. Zipper was... he was like zealous for that Rolo, man. He could not wait for that thing. Eager. Are any of us that eager to go bless people? I think we have tastes. I think we have tastes of that kind of eagerness when we go to CCC. When we go to our friends at GOM. When we feed our neighbors across the street. When we go down here and pour out 72,000 pounds of wings at Orma. When we fellowship in here together with one another. When we care about one another. But what I want you to know is you're not doing anything that hasn't already been done for you. Jesus was eager to not repay your insult with an insult or your evil with evil that you deserved. He chased you down. Literally, he left heaven and chased you down to do you good. He came, the incarnate God of glory, came in the version of a man to chase us down to do us ultimate good. And he did so on the cross.
You see, he is this guy. He is this person that kept his tongue from evil. He kept his lips from deceitful speech. He turned from evil, did nothing but good. He sought peace and pursued you with that peace that by his blood and by his body broken for you, you might have peace with God and forgiveness of sins and harmony and brotherly love and compassion and power and love, life, and see good days. Amen? Let's come to the table and experience. This is all the illustration we need. Eric, Dave, would you come? Let me pray. Oh, Father, thank you so much. Thank you for touching our congregation today. Thank you for us living. Thank you for us loving life and seeing good days. Because we do this as we go and we do these things every day, not just once a quarter when we go feed people, or once a year when we go to work for people, not once a month when we feed everybody here, not just those times, but all the time, Lord, let us, help us, please. Let us experience the love of life and seeing good days because we are pursuing people with peace. And the ultimate expression of pursuing people with peace is to pursue them with the gospel of peace, which we now come and drink in. We can't get our eyes off of you, Jesus. We drink you in. Lord, set these elements apart to your holy use. If there is anyone here that does not know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, their righteousness, their hope for salvation and eternal life, then this bread and this juice is not what they need. They need the one that they signify, and that is Jesus Christ. And friend, if you are an unbeliever today, Jesus Christ is in this place in his spirit right now, ready to receive you. Eager, twitching to do you good. Oh, won't you come to him? Won't you surrender your life and stop this insane business of trying to live it on your terms and see no love in life and no good days? Oh, won't you come to him to know how to love life and see good days? Let today be the day of your conversion. But if there are people here that know him, for everyone that loves him, for all who have seen God's wrathful arrows made drunk in his blood and not yours, you are free, and I invite you to come and sup with him here, to take him into your mouth, to experience him, to love life, and today to see this good day. Amen? Amen. Jesus, on the night in which he was betrayed, he took bread. He gave it to his disciples, and he said, "This bread is my body, which is broken for you. Take it and eat it. Do this in remembrance of me." The body of Christ broken for you. The body of Christ is broken for you.